Now open your Bibles then to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. You know, there's a lot of people that misinterpret Scripture. When you read the history, and I teach it every now and then, it's been a little while since I've taught it. When you teach the origins of denominations, where denominations came from, how they came to be, and when you understand that the Baptist did not come out of the Catholic Church. They were not a Protestant religion. They did not protest out of the Catholic Church and come out. All the other ones did, for the most part, that we are familiar with today, as far as the main ones that's been around for a while. Now, some of these newer ones that was started in America did not, but they are works-oriented. All these ones that, like Jehovah Witness and Mormons and those types of, and Church of Latter-day Saints and those types of religions. But most of the ones that you're familiar with, other than Baptist, you know, the Episcopalian, Lutherans, Methodists, all the ones like that, the Pentecostal religions, all those has their origin at some point or other protesting the Catholic Church and coming out. As they came out, they also brought with them many of the teachings. Some of them, that's why some are big on the garments and rituals that they do, because they got that from the Catholic Church. Some of them practices infant baptism that came from the Catholic Church. Some of them practices different works-oriented things, and that's where those things came from. Baptist is normally despised by some of the leaderships of those denominations. I talk to people that belongs to some of those, and some of them don't even understand what the actual denomination believes. I talked to a lot of people about eternal security, and I cannot tell you how many different ones in different denominations said, "Preacher, we believe just like you do." I said, "Well, you may do, but the origin of your denomination does not. That was not the way the denomination was established." So one of the doctrines that is despised is eternal security in salvation. And so what they do is sometimes they misinterpret a scripture or two, and they try to use that as their defense. And they really hate that doctrine, because many people believe and wants to believe that somehow God, they are getting saved and going to heaven because of them. But when you get down to the nuts of it, it is because of Jesus. Now, there are many standalone verses that teach eternal security. Tonight we're going to look at one. It doesn't need no help in what it says. And you have to misinterpret it to make it say something different. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4, and begin read with me, if you would, verse number 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Amen. Now, let me say that throughout the scripture, there's many, many scriptures that are standalone scriptures. They stand by themselves. They don't need any help. When Jesus promises eternal life and everlasting life, you can argue all you want to, But when he does not put a conjunction with that, that scripture can stand on its own. When you got John 3:16, it doesn't need any help. You believe upon Jesus, you're saved. And whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say except, but unless you do this. Now, it is possible, look back if you would in verse 30, it is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed. Now, grieving is injuring the Holy Spirit and grieving it. All of us have been grieved. We've had people do things to us, or people that we love do things, and it grieved us. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But nowhere, without misinterpreting the scripture, does it ever teach it that God turns you back out to the lost community. Never, ever. And so here, I'd like for us to look, and I want to talk just a few moments about what it means to be sealed. Now, here the Bible says that we are sealed. Now, who is it that seals us? It's God that seals us. Now, how many of you have ever canned beans or something, some vegetable? Any of you ever do that? Did you just set the jar there and put the lid there and just sit and let it seal itself? There was a procedure you went through to seal it. Who was responsible for sealing it? You were. And of course you had to do things a certain way, and it had to, the lid had to pop and all that, and all the pressures had to get right. But you sealed it, and when you sealed it, you preserved it, right? Now, God is the one that seals us. We don't seal ourselves. We're no more capable of sealing ourselves than a jar of beans. We can't seal ourselves. The Bible says that we have been sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost is the one that's responsible. Now, stay with me a minute. I want to take you to a couple of verses. And the word sealed means to close up. It means to fasten, like a seal. It means, in another sense, it means like documents, to put a seal upon them that you have finished the transaction. Whenever you finish a transaction, you go to a bank and you're buying a house or something, then what they do is after you get through filling all the important papers out, you'll file that and they will seal it. They'll put a seal upon it to signify that it's finished and it's a finished product. Now, not only that, but also a seal is to make sure, to confirm. In other words, to guarantee. And we'll get to each one of those here in a moment. But look if you in your Bibles, if you would. Keep your finger here. And turn back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, notice, if you would, verse number 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is who? God. Who hath, because it's God who hath, also what? Who sealed us? God sealed us. Okay? God sealed us, and only God can unseal us. We did not have a part of, as far as sealing us, God sealed us. But notice what he says. And hath given the what? Earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, what does the earnest mean that he has given to us? The earnest. Now, we're going to get in that in just a moment. Turn with me again to another place, if you would, in John chapter number 6. In John chapter number 6, notice, if you would, what the Bible says about Jesus and the Father with Jesus. In John chapter 6, in verse 27. He says, labor not for meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father, what? Sealed. In other words, he's sealed. Now, later on in Revelation, the Bible talks about how God will seal the 144,000 Jews. the true, if you want to call them, the true Jehovah Witnesses. Now, what he's done, the Holy Spirit's given to us to confirm to us that we belong to God. The seal that we have is a signal to us and a verification to us that we belong to God. We'll get to that in just a moment. Now look in your Bible again to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, notice if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 19. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are what? His. And let every one of you, one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now, why are we told to depart from iniquity? We're told to depart from iniquity because iniquity is what grieves the Holy Spirit. When we have iniquity in our life, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, he doesn't reject us. He doesn't kick us out. But we are his. He owns us. And part of being sealed means the ownership of God. In other words, we have been bought, the Bible says, with a price. God owns us. Now, look on. I'll get to that here in just a moment, too. But now notice, if you would, back in Ephesians chapter number 4, if you kept your finger there. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Now, again, that seal is done by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of God seals us. And it means three things. As I mentioned earlier, and I want to mention these because we'll get into these in just a moment. One is, it means a finished transaction. In other words, God's finished. Now, the point being is this. As I said, we have a seal. Whenever we do a diploma, someone finishes school here, we have a diploma and we take a seal and we stamp the seal. It's a done deal. It's finished. That seal is showing that it is a finished product, that they have completed and they are completed in the task and what they're asked to do. Now, the way that we get sealed is when we get born again. The moment that a person gets born again of the Holy Spirit of God, you receive the seal of the Holy Ghost. Now get this a minute. I know I've taught this, but I just want to throw this in so you'll understand it. As you know, we have body, soul, and spirit. The spirit is a part that is dead until you get saved. Your spirit is a place in which you can commune with God. Your spirit is what brings life. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 has a verse in verse 9 that just throws people off, especially Baptists. It says that you have a seed within you that cannot sin. And everybody looks at themselves and they say, "Well, I sin. I must not be saved." That seed is what is sealed by the Holy Ghost. Your spirit is sealed. Your spirit can be grieved, just like the Holy Ghost can be grieved. But did you know your spirit cannot sin? Did you know that? What happens is your soul can. Your soul is where your thoughts, where you weigh things, where you have your affections, all those things. And as I've taught many times, your soul is caught between the spirit that always wants to do right and the flesh that always wants to do wrong. The flesh lusts against what? The spirit. It doesn't say it lusts against your soul. Your soul is what performs and determines. Your soul is a part of you that sometimes it will go along with the flesh. Sometimes it goes along with the spirit. Now, when it goes along with the spirit, you have fellowship with God. When it goes along with the flesh, you grieve the Spirit of God. Now remember, look back in your Bibles a moment, keep your finger there a moment, and go back to Romans chapter number 8. Now notice, if you would, in Romans chapter number 8, and we've gone over these verses too, but I want to go over it because it's important to understand where I want to leave this thing in just a moment. But in Romans chapter 8, notice in verse number 9, you have to have the Spirit of Christ in you. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are none of His. The Bible says that we are to examine ourselves in Corinthians. The reason why we are examining ourselves is to see if we have what we're going to talk about here in just a moment, the earnest of the Spirit. If you don't have the earnest of the Spirit, then you're not one of His. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But the Spirit of Christ has to be in you. Now, if you have the Spirit and you've been sealed with the Spirit, in verse number 14 of chapter 8 of Romans, you are led by the Spirit. Not only that, but also in verse number 15, the Spirit leads you to cry, Abba, Father, and gives you a relationship with God to be able to pray to God. Also, in verse number 16, the Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. And so all those things happen in your spirit. Now, the Spirit is important because until it's made alive, you have none of these things. Now, let me say this. Now, listen to me. There's a lot of people claims to be saved. And people said, well, if they're saved, but the truth is, you don't know if they're saved. The only one that really knows if you're saved is you. And I'm going to tell you how in just a moment. But the point I want you to get is this. If you are saved, your spirit's been made alive. If you've not, your spirit's dead. And I don't care how much you pray. I don't care what you do. I don't care how many times you come to church. Until your spirit is made alive, you have no relationship with God. You're alienated from God. Your spirit is made alive and you're sealed with the Spirit of God when you become born again by coming to Jesus Christ, or believing upon Jesus Christ and coming to God. And what you do is you have faith in, you repent unto God, and you have faith in Christ Jesus. And you come, and in that action we've talked about, that's when you're saved. Now, when you do, you become born again of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says that your body becomes a temple of what? The Holy Ghost of God, of God. And the Holy Ghost lives within you. Now, let's look back a moment, and let's go back and let's talk about this a moment. Now, so when we get a seal of the Holy Ghost, one thing is a stamp of the finished product. In other words, what God began with us, He will complete. So when you have been sealed until the day of redemption, that means that seal is upon you because you are a finished product. You say, well, I'm not finished yet. No, God's still working on you. But the point is you are as good as in heaven. Because right now you sit in heavenly places, whether you know it or not. Right now, you are secure. There's nothing you can do if you are saved to unseal yourself. You have been sealed by God. And when you were sealed with God, the Holy Ghost of God come inside of you and sealed you. Now stay with me a moment. The second thing it mentions is ownership. Back then, when an animal, and I don't mean a compare, but it was true, they would seal and put a stamp on their animals. They would brand them. They'd even brand some of their slaves. Now, I'm not saying I agree with that, but I'm saying they did that because of ownership. This seal means that you are owned by God. When you get the seal of the Holy Ghost, you are His. You are His child. To as many as received Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You are a son and daughter of God. You will always be. You will never cease being a child of God once you receive the seal. Now, stay with me just a little bit longer. And notice also, it is security. In other words, it's something that offers security to you. Now, those of you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, real quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Or before we do that, look in Jude real quickly. In Jude in verse 24, Jude. Let me read that one. Notice if you would in verse 24. Now unto him, talking about God, that is able to what? Keep you from what? Falling, and to present you what? Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, in other words, God has that capability. He's able to do that. Now, he gives us the earnest of his spirit. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice if you would in verse number 2. He says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, the notice earnestly, again, puts a desire that we are desiring to have a new body. The body that God has prepared for us. Somebody said, I don't understand why we have such a problem in this world. Why we hurt and complain, get tired and get sick, all these things. Because it causes us to get in the right spirit about what we want. What we want is we're looking forward to a heavenly body. The thing that's promised to us. That is one of our rewards, waiting in heaven. Now, stay with me a moment. Look, if you would, in chapter 5, in verse number 5. And it says, and now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is who? Who has also given to us the what? The earnest of what? Of his spirit. Now, the earnest of his spirit means that we have this earnest of his spirit. Now, what exactly is he getting at? One more verse and I'll close up. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. Peter said that we are kept by the power of God. And truly we are. But in Ephesians chapter number 1, notice if you would in verse number 13. In whom also ye have trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with what? That Holy Spirit of promise, which is the what? Earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, if I told Brother Junior, I come to Brother Junior and said, Brother Junior, I want to buy your house and your property. And he put it up, he had it up on the market to sell. And he said, well, I've got a lot of people interested in it. I said, well, I want it. And so I said, let me tell you what, I'm going to give you a down payment. And so I reach in my pocket. I pull out a dollar. I said, now, I want you to hold that house and property for me. Here's your dollar. I'll give you the first dollar. What would you say? That's what I thought you'd say. That's what I'd say too. Now, if he had up for sale and I said, now, Brother Junior, here's $10,000. Down payment. Hold it, and I want to buy it, and give me 2 weeks, and I have the money. Now he'd probably consider it. Because number one, I'd be a fool to give him $10,000 and lose my investment if I didn't come back and buy it, right? And $10,000 is serious enough money where he'd say, he means business. He means exactly what he said. The word earnest in the Bible means that God makes a down payment of his Holy Ghost in you. Now get this minute. You have been made, your body has been made the possession of a down payment of God. What are some of the fruits of the Spirit? Somebody name some. Huh? Joy. Peace. Love. Gentleness. Meekness. And the Bible says that there is nothing in this world that can compare to those fruits, and only people who are saved can have the true fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are far superior than any love, joy, peace that the world knows. In other words, the Bible describes a peace as a peace that passes all understanding. The world can't understand this peace. The love of God, I mean, the love that we have within us, the world don't understand the love we have. Now stay with me a minute. What you have when you got saved, and we talked about this, the moment you got saved, if you did not realize there had been a change. Did you notice how that the moment that you really truly gave it to Christ and got saved, there was all these emotions of peace, of love. You notice how you loved? You notice how that you just had a peace about you? Now somebody come down the aisle and say, I want to get saved, and they're mad about something and they leave mad. Somebody come down the aisle laughing and cutting up, and they leave laughing and cutting up, and you never see a change. If you were truly ever born of the Spirit, the moment you was born, God put a down payment down. The down payment is just a small token by the Holy Ghost. I shouldn't say small token. Is a down payment by the Holy Ghost of what you're going to be in heaven. That love that he gave you, the Bible says the love of God was shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, is no different than the love you're going to have in heaven. The difference of it is the degree you're going to have it. You're going to have it purified. 100% purified with nothing at all hindering. Understand? Have you ever, Brother Porter, you ever just got right with God and love just was bowling out of you? That's just a down payment of what heaven's going to be like. How many of you have ever been going through something and it was a trial or something, and then the whole world thought you should be whining and crying and just giving up, and yet there was a peace that you couldn't explain? Now look here. That peace that you was just a small down payment of what the peace is always going to be in heaven. Understand? The joy. Sometimes when God gives you joy unspeakable, that is part of the earnest of the Holy Ghost. And you got to taste just a small fraction of what your joy is going to be in heaven, because down here we've got all these hindrances, the flesh, all these things we've got. But yet we get to taste a small bit. Now imagine what it would be like, Linda, to get to heaven. And at the point and peak of your time down here, that love of God just overflowed in you, it will be magnified up there. Because he's made an investment. You're his. He said, this is a finished product. I put my stamp on it. When I get finished with it, they're going to be perfect. And so therefore, when I get through, I'll be able to present you faultless, without sin. And all these attributes that the Holy Ghost has given you as an earnest of the Holy Ghost, when you were born again, when you were sealed, and he sealed you, he gave you that earnest, those things are just small tokens of what the perfection of those things or the magnification of those things will be in heaven. In other words, when you get to heaven, the earnest is going to become 100%. You're going to have the love of God completely. Never to have a bad feeling, never have a bad thought. do everybody you see in heaven, you're just going to love from the depths of your heart. You're going to see the Lamb of God and love Him with a pure heart. You're going to see God and just love Him with a pure heart. And my goodness, when He gets through. And so what happened is this. You have been sealed until the day of redemption, until you are redeemed with your glorified body, and you get rid of all this old flesh and junk that's down here. And you did that. That earnest that you have been given when you were sealed lets you know that you are one of His. Now let me say this and I'll close. If you don't have the earnest, you're not one of His. Somebody said, I've never felt none of those things. Then you better be examining yourself. Because what we have, the earnest is a guarantee. God said, when Junior was born again, he was sealed and He gave him an earnest of the Spirit. He made a down payment in Junior. And he said, my investment, I'm not going to lose that investment. That's why Jesus said, not one is going to be plucked out of my Father's hands. Because He's made that investment in him. And He's already started something in him, and it's going to be perfected in him. And so therefore, when He's finished with Junior, when, on the day of redemption, when He's redeemed and His body is glorified, the Holy Spirit of God that has kept Him safe, kept Him sealed, and kept Him preserved. God sealed you, preserved you, kept that little Spirit in you perfected without sin. All of a sudden, your old flesh is going to be left behind, and God's going to get it. He's going to change it. He's going to glorify it. Then your soul has no more bearing. It has no more temptation from your flesh. The devil's going to be taken care of. The world's going to be taken care of. Your flesh is going to be taken care of. And now the only thing influence that your soul has is your spirit. And your spirit now has the attributes of the Holy Ghost 100% purified with no imperfections whatsoever. And my friends, heaven's going to be a place of great beauty and praise and glory and honor. And somebody said, you know, we ought to praise God more down here. We should. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get the full effect of what God, the earnest of your spirit, when you get the full effect up there without any flesh to hinder, every one of you is going to be shouting from the housetops. You're going to be singing. You're going to be praising the Lamb of God. You won't even recognize yourself when you're that pure. But look here. Down here, we just get little bits and pieces. That is the earnest that God has given us. And everybody who has been sealed has the earnest. God has invested in you, and He's given you the fruits of the Spirit. And so therefore, you possess the Holy Ghost of God. And you will continue to possess the Holy Ghost of God until the day of redemption, because and I've said this before, it takes someone stronger than God to move God out of you. And there's nobody can do that. And what God has preserved and sealed, nobody can unseal. Amen. And so all these people running around here whining and complaining and thinking that they're going to lose their salvation and criticizing Baptists, they just don't understand the Scriptures. The Scriptures is clear. You have been sealed by the Holy Ghost of God until the day of redemption, period. Period. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe this evening you're not saved. Maybe you don't have none of the earnest of the Spirit within you. All these fruits that we talked about, these bits, something missing. You don't know and you could not relate to what I'm talking about. Paul makes it clear. You have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Maybe you need to come tonight. Coming to God, asking Him to save your soul. make you a child of God, would you come receiving Christ Jesus? How about it? As we sing, Brother Porter.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus.
Is he calling you tonight? Maybe you're standing there saying, Brother Billy, I know I'm not saved. And God's dealing you a heart to come. Would you come?
For those he's wise.